It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
There are a few things that I hold my parents to, like, I have ill will towards them on a few things. Number one is the way my mom styled my hair as a child, with no style, basically. And the second one would be they always were the early bird family. Like, it pissed me off. We ate at 4:30.
Yes.
We would have to go out to dinner early.
Let's go. It's time to eat. We're going to dinner.
Dinner? Well, what time is it?
It's 4:30.
4:30? Who eats dinner at 4:30?
We can never wait till 6 or 6:30 when other families ate.
Yeah, but when you're done, you could be back at the house playing outside by 6.
I was playing outside then, and I had other stuff I wanted to do. And then when I grew up, and then we were older, and I lived in the city, they would only come to the city, but only for a 5 o'clock dinner.
By the time we sit down, it'll be 4:45. I don't understand why we have to eat now.
We got to catch the early bird. It's only between 4:30 and 6.
I don't eat at 5. Who the hell eats at 5? I don't want to eat
at 5. You could make an exception for the woman that brought you into this world.
Guys, enough with the 5 o'clock meals. Can we at least compromise? I eat at 7. You eat at 4:30. Let's make a reservation for 6.
Yeah, they give you a tenderloin, a salad, and a baked potato for $4.95. You know what that cost you after 6?
It's too early.
Well, why can't we just consent to what your mom wants?
Can we eat at a decent hour? I'll treat, okay?
You're not buying us dinner.
I'm not force feeding myself a steak at 4:30 to save a couple bucks, I'll tell you that.
All right.
Mark will meet at Gibson's at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock?
Well, wait. But it's unheard of.
Sylvie's living the Seinfeld life. When he was a kid, his mom and dad made him go out early. You got to catch the early bird.
Big
you got to beat the crowd.
Right.
Beat the rush. I get it. I get why Harvey was doing
butter.
It.
Sure, you're trying to save a little money.
Now, that was never a problem in my childhood. You know, we'd go out every once in a while, fancy dinner on a Saturday or Sunday. But we'd go, it wasn't necessarily the early bird. We'd go to Hackney's, or there was a place called Harvey's in Countryside.
Ooh,
we used to
Harvey's.
Go to. Yes, yes, or Copperfield. Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a few that were very special occasions. Harvey's used to have this onion loaf, just this. It was like a meatloaf, but with onion rings, fried onion rings. And my God, was it wonderful!
It's fantastic.
And they'd bring it with a big steak knife, and you'd cut a slice of it off. I mean, I can close my eyes and
mother and father of mine couldn't understand why people had to go out to eat, why they couldn't cook their own food. They
well,
couldn't understand.
Sometimes it was a treat to go out, though. Didn't they ever like to go out as a treat?
Not for them.
Really?
They went and visited family. Then they cooked, there.
They were like my, when your parent, you're a little older, so your parents were and are older than mine. That sounds like my grandfather. He never understood, well, why would we go out to eat? Why would I pay to go out to eat?
Doesn't make sense.
My wife cooks for me at home. Why am I going out?
I can't. Well, my dad cooked, too. Here, hold on.
My grandfathers didn't really cook.
No, my dad cooked. Might have even been a better cook than, than mom,
Wow, back then, that's kind of crazy.
Especially on the barbecue.
Well, okay, all right.
But he's made stews and barley and greens.
My
all types of good stuff.
When my grandmother died, and I'd go over and I'd check in on my grandfather. This is my mom's dad. You know, he lived by himself until he was about 94, 95. But I'd go to check on him. And man, eating lunch over there was rough after my grandma died. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he didn't really know. You know, he could bake a little, so he made good breads and good pizza.
Right.
But if he had to make a piece of protein, Yurk, I mean, his idea of cooking a piece of protein was like taking a pork chop and throwing it in boiling water. I mean, it was awful.
Boiling water, Yurk.
I'm telling you,
who boils a pork chop?
I don't think he knew. He didn't really know. And it was a rough experience. I'm not going to lie.
Why didn't he just YouTube it?
Good one, Miller. Touche. Grandpa, go on YouTube. You barely speak English. Figure out how to cook.
Also, it was probably 1980 when you, right?
Oh, no. I mean, this was, look, I mean, he lived until my grandfather lived till 97.
No YouTube, Carm.
No, he lived to be 97.
Oh,
I'm talking,
he
died in 2016. No.
Okay.
I'm talking about, as recently as 10 years ago.
Okay, then it wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
And, it was still funny to think that a 90-year-old Italian immigrant is going to be going on YouTube. A guy didn't have internet in his house, for crying out loud. Are you kidding me? There was no internet connection in his house. I mean, it was something. But, it was a skill he never learned. Now, Sylvie went on to joke yesterday They were hilarious. The 4 o'clock hour yesterday was something because they were joking about that. And Sylvie said his dad was always a big, we got to leave early at the game. Got to leave early because you got to beat traffic.
I was that guy.
And my dad was a big, you know, he'd take me and my brothers, but it was always, okay, it's the eighth inning or there's 5 minutes left. Let's go.
Got to go.
It's time to go. We've got to beat traffic. And there was no fighting it. No, like, nope, we're going so that we don't get stuck in the parking lot. And Sylvie was joking that he hated that so much as a kid, he's the opposite. Well, like the Progressive insurance commercials, you really do turn into your parents. That's me. I mean, especially if I've got the kids. You think there's no way I'm staying to the end with the kids. Uh-uh. Let's go. Time left, we're beating traffic.
That's right.
A seventh inning? Let's go. It's time to beat traffic. Well, We're out.
You've seen my baseball philosophy.
Oh, I've seen yours, yeah.
I'll stay until Gavin Floyd's done pitching.
Yeah, and then Yurko leaves.
Got bumped
inning.
Into fourth.
Yurko's out.
Hasta la bye-bye. Good to see you guys.
See you, boys.
Do you know, I took Alex and Peyton to a Bears preseason game 1 year against the Broncos. And I was getting ready to go at halftime. It's a preseason game. And it wasn't... No, but like right after halftime.
What did Alex say?
Oh, would have none of it.
Was he kidding?
I had to bribe him with so much ice cream and candy just to get out of there. I'm like, we're not sticking around for a second half of a preseason game. Yeah, You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
He started crying.
Oh my
like
God.
He was probably 6 or 7.
Don't spare the rod.
He couldn't believe like we were going to leave a football game. And I made it up to him. We've gone to plenty of games since. And regular season, we'll stick it out.
Do you stick it out?
Yeah, I do actually because he wants to stay so badly. Yeah.
Football's a little tougher because, you know, how many times are you truly in a blowout? And while the Bears stink, maybe they are a little bit more often. But, like, how many times are you truly in a spot in a football game where you go, well, this game's over? Like, with basketball, baseball.
Well, there's plenty of opportunities usually after the two-minute warning when the game's a little bit out of hand.
And see, that'd be me.
You could easily want to bail, but out. As I'm a father, out. I've kind of... I now resign myself to the fate that I'm in for the whole game.
We got to beat the traffic out guy. I definitely. I got that from my old man. Definitely got to get out quick.
Easy in, easy out.
Yeah. Your dad would always pay for the easy out, right?
It's yeah.
You dupe him an extra 10, you get the easy
That's
out.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm by myself, for sure, we're leaving well before the game ends.
I'm even probably worse without the kids, really. Like, if I'm at a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, 5 minutes left.
I've gone to a handful of White Sox openers over the last 6-7 years where I stuck around for the full game. But it's an event. That one's
because that's an opening day thing.
Yes.
All right. So, are you a leave early guy? Did you pick that up from your old man? 312-332-3776. We still got to figure out what's happening with Waddle's car. We're being honest here. It's not me.
It's not me.
It's not Yurko. It's not Merkin. I don't think it's Meller. Although Sylvie's pretty convinced it is, and there's a conspiracy theory on their show. Black and Abdallah think that, like, Sylvie is Dr. Evil right now. Like, he's at home petting the cat. That's not a euphemism for something. And he's doing the evil laugh. And that, like, he and Meller have conspired. This is, like, he's Lex Luthor all of a sudden. He's conspired to do this, to perpetrate this act against Waddle. And that Meller and Sylvie are in cahoots. And it's Meller that's drawing the wee-wees on Waddle's car.
Okay, my good name is being sullied here, first
of all. It is.
I have never in my life drawn a penis on a car, period.
Well, you've been tempted, though, right?
Sure, but not... But, like, I don't know if it's just the practical person in me who's like, I don't want to get my hand dirty.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm telling you, like, on a car, on a windshield, never in my life. And I heard that segment yesterday for Waddle and Sylvie. On my children, I am not drawing penises on Waddle's car. However, for this entire pandemic, I have not been responsible for one penis on Waddle's car. But
yesterday,
on my way out the door, I rarely, and the other thing is, I rarely have an opportunity because I don't overlap with Waddle. We're usually just missing each other in and out of the parking lot. He doesn't get here until usually 12:30.
Right.
I'm usually gone by 12:15. So we just don't overlap. When he gets here early, every once in a while, I may see him for a brief moment, but I almost always catch him on the parking ramp as we're kind of crossing each other. And yesterday, sure enough, on the street, as I'm walking out of the door at like 12:04 yesterday, Waddle walk right across from him. Merkin and JR are with me.
He came in early.
You know what happened?
He drew a penis on your car.
I'm driving home on the Stevenson yesterday, and I'm looking out my rearview window, and sure enough, what's there but a big mushroom tip.
And it was big. Well, I mean, Waddle went big, and he took a picture of it and then texted all of us later in the day.
Absolutely uncalled for, and even though I'm not responsible for any of the stuff that happened over the past year.
You're catching Trapman.
I'm telling you right now.
Well, he better watch.
He's drawn me into this vicious cockfight, and he better keep his head on a swivel, boys, because you know what? He's tempting fate.
Well, Waddle, you've been warned. He'll be in later today because the White Sox are on at 2. Waddle and Sylvie are going to be on a little bit later. White Sox baseball at 2 o'clock. Waddle and Sylvie to follow, and then Bleck and Abdallah after that.
I still say it's Waddle.
I don't think it is, Merk. I think you're crazy, Merk.
And you know what? Why was Waddle here so early yesterday? I think he came in early just to draw one on my car.
I think that's 100% what he did. I do. Now, he owned up to it. He said, this is me. You guys, you want to take a hint? Just admit it. It's not us.
It's not me.
But I'm dying to know who it is. And I'm convinced. I think a listener saw him one day in the parking garage that parks every day in the garage and thought, you know, wow, there's Tom Waddle.
That's a little creepy.
I truly believe it's an inside job.
Yeah, I think
but
it's
who
inside
could
job.
It be?
Yeah.
You know who likes a little bit of tomfoolery?
Who?
A little bit of tomfoolery.
Who?
Mike Thomas.
Mike Thomas. I don't. Like, Mike's pretty funny. Like, Mike's a guy's guy. Like, I can kind of see him maybe doing it.
Has anybody checked out his naked body to see if there is a tattoo of a penis on there?
No, I haven't done that, Yurko.
I'm just asking. Does anybody know?
I don't think there's one.
Has anybody seen a naked Mike Thomas to know if there might be a secret tattoo of that on his body?
We haven't played hockey yet.
I don't know why he would need a tattoo to still draw that on people's cars.
I don't know. Because there may be a precedent. There may be a history.
Nick's in the city on ESPN 1000 with Carmen and Yurko. What's up, Nick?
Not much. How are you guys?
Great, buddy.
So when I was in about the second grade for my birthday, my dad got me Colts-Jets tickets. Oh. I was a big Jets fan. So we grew up in northern Indiana. Really excited. Father-son weekend, the type of weekend, you know, all the kids are excited for. So for months, I'm looking forward to it. So we finally go to the game. Fourth quarter, Jets are down by 10 with 5 minutes to go. My dad looks at me and says, all right, I'm sorry, you know, you're a big gift, but we got to beat traffic.
That's right.
So I go, okay, Dad, you know, thanks. It was a great weekend. I really appreciate it. I knew how big of a deal it was. Well, at that point, people had cell phones, but not on them all the time. So we get in the car. My dad turns on a cell phone. He goes, oh, missed a call from your mom. So he picks up the phone and calls her. And she goes, can you believe it? Nick's got to be so excited. And I can't hear this, but I just see a look of dread on his face. So he talks to her 2 minutes and hangs up the phone. Looks at me, goes, Nick, I'm so sorry. I go, what happened? He goes, Peyton Manning, and this is maybe during one of his MVP years, throws an interception, Jets run down the field, score. Onside kick, run down the field, and score. So for 20 years later, until my dad or I pass away, anytime someone's at a game and goes, let's leave early, let's beat traffic, that story gets told in its entirety. So I think he's heard it more than 100 times at this point.
That's pretty good, Nick. Do you ever leave early, or do you stick it out because of that?
If there's any emotional investment whatsoever, we're staying. I was at the NLCS game 5 where the Dodgers were up 12-2 in the third inning, and we stayed the whole game.
I love it. Nick, good stuff, buddy. I don't know how the heck you grew up being a Jets fan in northern Indiana, by the way. That's funny. Line 5, Merk, you're saying? All right, let's go to Tom in Lake Forest. What's up, Tom?
Hey, listen, Merkin's theory is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, ever. I did not draw a penis on my own windshield and then drive home and have my entire family go, hey, Dad, why is there a penis drawn on your windshield? Oh, it's because I'm Tyler Durden and I do it.
It is bizarre,
it's
Tommy.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't get it at all. I mean,
the only thing that was odder, Carm, was Jerk just asking if anyone's seen our boss naked.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a true question, though, man. It's a legitimate question.
I don't know. I don't think it's very legitimate. By the way, you've sucked Meller in. Did you hear him? I mean, this is it.
Oh, I know. Listen, here's the deal. I didn't want to be the only one who had the privilege of having a phallic symbol drawn on my car every day for 6 months. I decided to share the fun.
Hey, now between the two of you, we're going to find out who's the cock of the walk.
That's right.
Do you know what's...
Meller, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm taking my car to the car wash as we speak.
You know what? That's a perfect alibi you're putting out there right now. My guess is you're driving in early right now to pop into the garage and drive, draw a bunch of penises on everyone else's car.
That's not true because we're working today after the White Sox game.
White
and I'm working
Sox,
from
2 o'clock,
home because
baby.
We're going to be on late.
Oh, you're taking working on the Texas Rangers.
Okay. All right, he's working.
Next time you see me, my car is going to be clean, Meller.
That's the best way to avoid all this.
Can I tell you
your car?
Can I tell you what literally just dawned on me as we were talking about this? So, my car, which, by the way, I told you how I don't like to get my hands dirty. It still has a penis on the rear windshield right now in my garage.
So is mine. I can't wait for the guys at the car wash to see my car and go, what's wrong with you?
Listen to this. This morning, I took my wife's car, not thinking about this, because I'm going
so
to...
So she's driving around your car.
Well, she works from home. However, on Tuesdays when my kids go to school...
Yeah?
She usually, because their backpacks are so heavy because all the stuff they have to bring because of COVID back and forth, she usually drops them off.
I love it.
She may have dropped them off
at
the school in my car.
That's the best.
As they hopped out. That is a possibility.
Waddle, you're the king now after that.
For that, I would issue an apology.
I wouldn't.
But I'm not hiding from it. I told you yesterday, Meller, hey, watch this. Here's an example. Hey, I drew the penis on your car. It was me. I'm guilty. It's not hard to do.
Of course, if you're guilty.
He's looking
for a confession. If you're guilty, you're absolutely right, Tom.
What's a confession?
We got a break. Go get your car washed. We'll listen later today, and then until we flush out the suspect, I think this is going to continue to be a
And by the way, Carm, by the way, Mike Johnson from Channel 7 called me last night, says it's not him.
Yeah, that was another name that was floated out. Mike Johnson is the sports producer at Channel 7. Mike Johnson and I went to college together. I've known Mike for more than 20 years.
Good kid. Real quick, I thought there may be a connection there. Mike Johnson drawing that on my car.
I get it. Tommy, have a good afternoon. All right, get the car washed.
Bye.
Mike Johnson he's a great dude. He went to my high school.
Yeah, Mike and I went to college together, and I've known Mike forever. If it were him and Waddle confronted him, I think he'd admit it. Saying it's not him, I believe him.
Funny thing is, every year he always said to me he was always bummed out. He never got an invitation to Waddle's Super Bowl party.
Yeah, we should.
And this year he was going to go, and then of course.
Well, we'll go next year.
Yeah, he can have MySpace.
It'll be back next year.
Have we ruled out Pete Sack yet? Just asking. Based on Waddle's
deduction of Mike Johnson. 312-332-3776. More people want to talk about leaving early. We'll grab some more of your calls. And if you think Merkin's conspiracy theory is the nuttiest you've ever heard, yeah, I think you're way out on an island on that one. It's Carmen and Yurko. Nutty. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Okay, make sure you have that ESPN Chicago app because there's great stuff there. You catch up on the shows. You can always just podcast the show if you miss anything or catch up on a great interview. There's a bunch of original podcasts, including The Golf Club, which Randy Merkin does.
And I was going to ask maybe Yurko, since he picked the winner last week, if he'd be willing to come on. Maybe you guys can come on for a couple minutes tomorrow.
Absolutely. And
we'll do it again?
And I think it's important to note that on our show, I'm proud to say that in the last couple of weeks, members of this show have correctly picked the winners of the last two PGA Tour events. Merkin had Max Homa a couple of weeks ago. Merkin had Max Homa. Yurko told everybody on the Golf Club podcast, that's why you should listen to it every Wednesday when it drops, his pick was Kyle Morikawa. It was like 33-1.
It wasn't just he had like so much great information. If you watch that tournament, Yurko had it spot on about those greens. It was amazing.
And two weeks before that,
I had Brooks Koepka at 40-1.
I mean, listen, picking golf winners is hard.
It's impossible.
And we've done it. Well, you guys have. Good job.
Yeah, I go the rest of the year and not get one.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's going to say, you guys, it cost me $10 a week.
Well, 2 weeks from now, you know where we're going to be at, guys. We're going to be at Pontevedra. Island 17th green.
That's the TPC.
Rory McIlroy last year with the win over
2 years ago.
Europe.
Last year they didn't have a tournament.
2 years ago, great tournament that year.
We're about five weeks from Augusta,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
5 weeks away.
Oh, yes, we are.
That's awesome. Let's say hi
to. Bet your sweet Aiken Panachkis we are.
Go to Reno in Chesterton, Indiana on ESPN 1000. What's up, Reno?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
Excellent, my friend.
Good. I heard you guys talking about leaving games early, and I can't remember who the Cubs were playing, but it was in
78, 79, something like that. They were losing 8-0. So I left and went to the parking lot. Of course, I was jammed in, so I couldn't leave anyway. But they come back and won 9-8. Mm. And I remember Bobby Mercer hitting either a grand slam or a three-run homer or something like that. And I'm listening to the ovation in my car. And I missed the whole comeback and everything.
That's brutal.
It was demoralizing.
That's one that sits with you, right, Reno? Yeah, like you can't.
Drive you nuts.
You know the ironic thing about all this is Sylvie was talking about it. I think he once famously left a Bulls playoff game like in 05 when the Bulls finally got back.
Right.
We should call him. He's been on the station a lot already.
Yeah, today. Oh boy.
But I wonder if he remembers this because I seem to remember Sylvie was at one of those games against. Did the Bulls have a big comeback against Washington in that series? Like, they took a 2-0 series lead. And then I think they lost the next four. So I'm trying to remember if there was, like, a game in the first two where they had a big comeback. Or maybe it was the year after. I seem to remember when we were doing shows together way back in the day. He kind of, like, broke his own rule. He left a Bulls playoff game early. This was, like, the Heinrich Ben Gordon Bulls, the sure. Noach Bulls, and they came back and won, and he was mad at himself, and he was arguing. I think we were arguing with callers about leaving games early back then, and should you or should you not? Like playoff games are maybe a little different, but I'm telling you, I definitely got that from my old man. You know, regular season game, let's beat traffic. Time to get the heck out. I don't want to sit in the parking lot. Let's see, where should
go to
we
line
go?
Eight?
Want to go to line eight? Here?
Yeah,
who's line eight? Corey's in Denver. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Oh, this is all-timer, Corey.
It's bad. It's bad, Carm. It's really bad, man.
Oh,
so,
God.
15 years ago, got a buddy, didn't live in Chicago, big Bears fan.
Oh, man.
Scored some Monday night football tickets. Wasn't going so well at halftime.
Jeez.
And he's like, I've had it. I've had it with Grossman throwing these interceptions. I can't take it anymore. Yeah, he lived in Arizona.
God.
It was that game.
Wow. I mean, like, you're jaded for life. You can never leave a game early again, can you, Corey?
No, it was horrible. He called me. He's like, he called me from the car. He's like, man, you're not going to believe what I just did.
Okay. That's unbelievable, man. That is the all-time of all time. Like,
all right, so here's the game I left. Real quick, White Sox game. Game two World Series.
I saw
the Canerico Grand Slam.
Oh, why would
I
you
saw
do that,
that right? Well, it got into the ninth, right?
They gave up the lead.
That was going extra innings, right?
Yes, yes.
It
got tied up.
All right, I had the two boys. They were small.
Wow, it was miserable.
It was miserable with the rain. I'm like, let's get out of Dodge. I go, we're in the parking lot. We're in the parking lot. All of a sudden, the fireworks go off. The cheer went on. The fireworks are off. And you know what I said to myself?
Self?
Good. I go, now we're in the car and we're going to tail it. And now we really made the smart play. I had zero regrets.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see Pasetnik's homer. I'll watch it. I already lived the Canerico Grand Slam.
Well, at least you were there for that.
That's my point. So I survived the Pasetnik home run. We were in the car. Dan Ryan South. I was jumping for joy that I made the right move.
I had to walk back to the train. We took, you know, because we lived in the city then. So I trained it back to the Red Line. And you know, that was always another thing. Like, it wouldn't only be to get out of the parking lot, but I could be at a regular season White Sox game when I lived in the city and I just took the train. And, like, come the seventh, like, if you waited, especially if it was a big game and they had a crowd, I know you can insert your joke here about White Sox crowds, but, like, if it were a, you know, if it was a great night, a nice night, or a good team, the Yankees were in town or something, you knew the crowd was big, Yerk. Like, anybody will tell you this that used to have to walk back to that Red Line stop. It was miserable after games.
Yes.
I mean, and that's why I started. Somebody finally tipped me onto, I hate to even give it out. That's the Canal Street shortcut, but like the Bronzeville stop. So for years I started going east
by
to Bronzeville. Exactly.
There, University of ITT.
Exactly.
ITT.
I believe, God, I don't ride the L. It's been almost 7 years since I've lived in the city. It's the Green Line, I think, that can get you over there. So we'd hop on the Green Line in the loop, and then you take it over to the Bronzeville stop and walk because there was less traffic. I mean, like, waiting on the Red Line after games used to be awful. So if it were the seventh inning and, like, the Yankees were in town or the Red Sox or it was interleague play and they were playing the Cardinals, you know, I remember, you know, like, I'm out. eighth inning. I'm like, I'm getting to the train now so I can get on the red line and get back home. So, and I didn't, it was, I never did it with much shame. Now, playoff games were a little bit different. I luckily stayed and saw the Konerko Grand Slam and the Podsednik Grand Slam. Let's go to Phil on the south side. Phil, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good. So I got an all-timer here. Nephew's in from Florida. A couple of my other nephews from around here. Want to see Wrigleyville going to hang out. Cubs versus Nationals. David Bote Grand Slam game.
Oh, man.
3-0 going into the ninth. We're like, ah, you know, none's going to happen. Let's go get a seat at the bar, you know, so we can do, you know, post-games, not too crowded. All of a sudden, we hear Wrigleyville erupt. We look up at the TV, and we're like, you've got to be kidding me.
Right. It gets one of those. There's always one of those, Phil. You know, you've been to 1,000 games, you leave that one early, and David Bote hits a walk-off slam, and you're like, oh, my God, and you feel stupid for leaving. 312-332-3776. We'll take more of your calls. Also, I want to play some good Dan Orlovsky sound on the Bears being all in this offseason, and I think Sylvie just texted. He said, you are correct. I left one of the Washington games. Oh, but I don't believe they won. Okay, they came back. They forced OT and lost. One of those bench little guy shooters sparked the comeback. Okay, so maybe that was it. The Bulls were down huge. I think I remember it now.
Gennaro Pargo hit some threes.
Gennaro Pargo, Yurko, that's a great call. It might have been a Gennaro
Pargo.
Well,
it came from Silverman. That's why I know
he
it.
Did. Oh,
yeah. You think I remember Gennaro Pargo? Are you kidding me?
I'm like, no. Did you just pull Gennaro Pargo?
I thought Gennaro Pargo was like one of the vaccines they just came up with.
The Bulls took a 2-0 series lead. I remember this. Noach had like a great game in game one, and Heinrich did. They took a 2-0 series lead. And then I think they lost the next four, and Sylvie's talking about they came back home. They were getting blown out. They came back and forced overtime, and then they went on to lose, and Sylvie had left that game early. All right, we'll be right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Big Illinois-Michigan tilt tonight. You know, there's some buzz that Io is going to play. I don't know how concrete any of that is. There's some buzz on the internet.
Io's
made a form-fitting mask, and you know, he's got the broken nose, and he missed their last game, but that he's going to give it a go in Ann Arbor tonight. Again, I don't know how accurate some of those reports are.
That's foam everywhere but on the nose and the broken spot, the broken thing. So the foam separates. You've got air between the two. And that way, if you get hit, the piece that's broken doesn't feel any of the vibration. And all the energy then dissipates through
the mask
around the rest of the face, but not on that initial spot. Mm.
So maybe Io gives it a go tonight. We'll see. You know, the line sort of is, I think it's a line posted that originally was figuring Io wasn't going to play. You know, and I know Michigan's great. Don't get me wrong. But Illinois catching 7-8 at this point. Maybe seemed a little surprising. I thought some of that was built in because Io was potentially going to miss the game, and we still don't know 100%. We'll see. But Joe Lenardi, in his latest mock-up, had Illinois as a one seed. It's Illinois, Gonzaga, Michigan, and Baylor. As of now, those were his ones. His twos were Ohio State, Iowa, Alabama, and West Virginia. We'll get back out to the phones here in a second. People want to talk about leaving early. It's always fun in the games that maybe you missed. Or Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live yesterday, he was talking about the Bears. And this is like a common, I don't know, I guess you'd call it a common theme with national pundits and reporters right now in discussing NFL free agency and what the Bears should or shouldn't do. It's like this idea of going all in, where they got to be all in. Here was Orlovsky talking about the offseason plan for Pace and Nagy.
Get on the phone and do not hang up. I think that at the end of the day, both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have to ask themselves two questions, and which one do they want to answer? Where am I going to be working in 2022, or how do I build a roster without three first-round picks? I just think that's the reality, is if they don't go get a real quarterback, if they don't go get a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson, it's going to be very difficult for those guys to keep their jobs with just a bridge or a potential substandard starting quarterback in the NFL. But go get one of those guys and you save your job. And it may cost you a lot, but you can figure it out later on. Figure it out when you have a football team that's in playoff contention because of the defense that you have. You guys know the movie Rounders. I'm a big movie person. I love the movie Rounders. There's the final scene where Matt Damon is talking to Teddy KGB, and he's like, you know, I'm going all in. And the river card is the ace. And he's like, there's no way that ace helped you. And he's like, you're right, I didn't. I flopped the nut straight. Those first round picks aren't going to help you guys unless you go get a quarterback then they saves you your job. So you got to get on the phone, don't hang up, go all in.
He tricked me. Chick, chick, chick all night.
Yes, he flopped the nut straight.
You tripped me.
You trapped me. Yeah,
you
trapped me.
Yes.
Good movie, good reference from Orlovsky. But this idea that the Bears need to be all in, look, they can be all in for Watson and still be way short.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking 20th.
Yeah.
They don't have a Tua Tagovailoa to offer back.
No, they have no quarterback to send back.
They don't have Sam. Don't have not that the Jets probably would, but the Jets have the first pick. You know what I'm saying? They don't have
better trade partners than the Chicago Bears. Just truth.
Now, like Wilson, maybe, but they're not going to out. Can they really outbid somebody for Deshaun Watson?
Wilson is going nowhere. His cap, dead cap money is too much. He's not going anywhere this year. You set it up for this year so you can get out next year. That's what's going to happen up there.
Yeah, I think Yergo's right. Wilson, the likelihood of him being traded this year seems
long shot.
Yeah, yes. At best. Like, yeah. But and like you said, Carm, the Watson deal, it's not even that. The Niners, we were talking about it last week. There's discussion that they would give up three firsts, Jimmy G, and who Bosa. Nick Cesario is familiar with, and Nick Bosa.
Yeah, but the Bears can't match that.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't match. There's nothing on the Bears roster that can match that.
Nothing.
Like, all these teams that have better picks this year than the Bears, higher picks, also have better young players under team-friendly contracts or young quarterbacks that are more intriguing.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, what's left for the Bears. Sam Darnold, you know, they were Wentz, thankfully they had a price and they weren't, you know, willing to go too much
smartly
above
enough,
that. It was probably smartly enough, which we don't say very often. You know, what if Teddy Bridgewater somehow would become available? Now, he'd probably be in a trade if Deshaun Watson ends up going to Carolina. It's just another spot
you
where...
You don't know. He might be released in June.
Maybe.
He could be. June 1st. Yeah.
You'd think that maybe they'd want the quarterback back. I don't know, but, like, you know, could that be an option? Sam Darnold has been discussed. Maybe Jimmy G, if nothing happens with the 49ers.
I draft the quarterback April 29th. That's what I do.
Me too.
Second round, I draft the quarterback.
Me too.
The best of what's left.
And you know what, Yurko? Next year, I'm drafting a quarterback again, probably.
There you go.
But Ian Rappaport was on the NFL Network and then floated the idea of Alex Smith because he's going to become available.
Now, Alex Smith is not the long-term solution or the short-term solution of the Washington football team's quarterback situation. And the reality is, Andrew, they've actually been doing this the last couple weeks while Alex Smith was on the roster. As soon as it became clear he needed to consider some things after the season, just kind of think about what he wanted to do, they knew they couldn't wait with as fast as this quarterback carousel has moved. Three quarterbacks already getting traded. The Washington football team acquired about basically all of them and more. And they've been deep in the quarterback trade market trying to figure out who their answer is. It was really just a matter of time until they decided to release him. My understanding is that release is coming. And yes, Alex Smith was one of the best stories in the NFL this year. Comeback player of the year. It was so cool to see him out there. But this is where the story ends for the Washington football team. And guys, you want to talk about a potential place he could land? I mean, obviously, you're going to have teams interested if he wants to play. I would keep an eye on the Chicago Bears simply because of Matt Nagy, his obviously role there as the head coach, the former coach for Alex Smith at Kansas City. Ugh. They still need a quarterback, would make some sense.
Outside of the bond and the connection in the past between the two, I don't think it makes any sense for the Bears.
Well,
we had the
Nick Foles thing.
You've got
that's
it. He's here.
Yes.
And he's younger and he's not on a rebuilt leg. Yeah. And Alex Smith is a great story. It is
fantastic,
a tremendous story, but no.
Welcome back.
To me, it's a big pass and no go. And other than just, oh, hey, Matt Nagy coached Alex Smith, it doesn't make any sense on any level, if you ask me. Right?
No, Alex
Bears
Smith.
And Alex Smith?
No,
makes no
it.
Sense.
I don't want it.
Let's say hi to Brad on the South Side. What's up, Brad?
Oh, this is Ben from the South Side.
Oh, sorry.
Hey,
what's
Ben?
Up, Ben?
Welcome aboard.
What's up? Hey, fellas. Good to hear you. Good to be with you. I love you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
I got a cicada story for you.
A cicada story.
My wife now, my nephew was playing football. I traveled with him to Lombard, Carroll Stream, everywhere else he went, and then he ended up in Wheaton playing football. My wife, out now, is my girlfriend then. I'm standing on the top row of the bleachers, her and my 10-year-old daughter sitting in front of me. A cicada from across the field lands on my chest. Doom! It was a loud noise that everybody, all the parents kind of looked at me like, What are you going to do with that? I just flicked it off and kept moving. I will stay to the end of the game. My wife got cut and my daughter got cut from driving in my truck. So they were not allowed to drive with me. You leave when you want to leave. I'm staying to finish the game.
What? If you cut them out of there, huh?
Yeah, I just they can go to the game. I'll pay to go in the game. We tailgated after dinner, after everything, but you're not riding with me.
The cicada thing is kind of strange. Like, so a cicada landed on you, but you powered through? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I mean, a cicada landed, it's a bug. I mean, what am I going to do, squash the bug? Okay, let's just flick it off my shirt. Let's go.
I love how Ben like incorporates that into the story.
That's like
thanks.
A bad luck thing or something.
I don't know.
You know? It's like the Scorpion King. Could have been the Cicada King coming out of the ground.
Thank you, Ben. Those damn cicadas last summer, boy, the mess they make when when all that's left is just that shell.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, like, what a mess.
They do.
By the way, I thought the cicadas were 17, wasn't it?
Every 17 years they're supposed to come out. I guess they had some lazy ones that kind of stuck around for a while and then went in the ground the next year. Seems like it's like every fifth year now.
Yeah, I mean, that it hasn't been 17 years. Yeah. But that last summer, my God, what a disaster. Like they're all over the sidewalks.
I remember 85, 02, 19. You know, that's what it was supposed to be.
They're it's an ugly bug.
Yeah.
And that stupid shell that it leaves behind.
The noise it makes.
It's so obnoxious. I mean, they were everywhere last summer. Let's go to Sean and Homer Glenn on the South Side. What's up, Shawnee?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing this
morning?
Great,
buddy. How you doing?
Great. I'm doing very well, thank you. So I would like to actually give you guys a couple of humorous suggestions if you guys want to partake in the tomfoolery.
All right.
So a couple. First things first. You could technically take a bottle of water or a cup of water or a cup of coffee and perhaps maybe, I don't know, say dump a little bit of vinegar just before somebody's about to take their sip or when their head turns. Secondly, you could also actually, and it depends on how far you want to take it, you could actually take a bunch of balloons or packing peanuts, and depending on where these culprits may sit, in either in an office or a shared office, you could either A, dump a whole bunch of packing peanuts inside the office itself and let them clean up the mess later.
We've done something like that before, actually. Yep.
Lastly, you could also then, I don't know, say bake a batch of cookies and just like overly salt them in the preparation process and just, just leave it on the desk and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about you. Here you go. And then just capture the moment.
Good old-fashioned chicanery. Sean, thank you very much. Look, we've pulled pranks on each other around these parts for a long time. Adam Delavitt used to have this beautiful couch in his office. Remember that couch Adam Delavitt had?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And we worked with a guy for many years in our sales department, one of our big wigs in sales. His name was Steve Lieberman. Steve's back on the East Coast now in D.C. Great guy. And Steve had a chintzy, small couch in his office. And one day we switched the couches. I mean, Delavitt flipped his lid. I mean, he came in the morning and he literally flipped his lid. He was screaming and took his couch and where's his couch. We once took packing tape, and we completely sealed off Bill Phelan's cubicle. I mean, we've done all kinds of things over there. We've hit cell phones in the drop ceilings and the ceiling tiles, and we call it over and over again. A guy can't find his phone, but he hears it ringing. He doesn't know it's in the ceiling tile. We've done all kinds of things. This thing that's happening with Waddle is next level. It's not any of us, and I don't know who's doing it. And I don't know if it's one guy that's just looking for dirty cars in the parking lot, and he's doing it to all of them. I mean, I don't know. But I'm fascinated by it, and I hope we catch whomever it is red-handed because it's hilarious.
How about a stakeout?
Waddle says he put a camera in his car. Dallas said he bought a Ring doorbell and he put it on his car.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Doesn't work until it rings.
Well, when you get close, it does send an alert, doesn't it?
Maybe it does. Maybe
I think it does.
Motion detector, maybe.
I hope he had installed.
I think Waddle's full of that.
Of course he is.
How about pulling a Walter Jacobson and dressing up like a hobo?
Oh,
and just
staking it out.
Yeah.
Waddle
doesn't have to go far from that when he comes in, usually, what he's wearing.
This sounds like a job for Dave Savini, if ever I've heard it.
Sure does.
A blue light special.
We need to get Chuck Gowdy on it. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Hello, my construction working friends. How you doing? It's Johnny Backhoe here. Remind you to get all your construction equipment from Alta Equipment. These guys are no joke.
Johnny Forklift.
Alta Equipment has 7 locations around Chicagoland, and they sell everything from new and used construction equipment to parts and service for all your construction needs. They even rent construction equipment. Volvo, Avant, Gehl, Jet Heat, you name it, Alta Equipment, they've got it. check out AltaEquipment.com because uptime matters.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Don't forget White Sox baseball up after Greeny. Greeny's coming up at the top of the hour, and then it's White Sox baseball at 2 o'clock. They take on Texas and Glendale today, and then Waddle and Sylvie will be on when the game is over. And then Black and Abdallah later tonight. So stick around. After Greeny, you'll get Connor, and you'll get Len and DJ as we get a little White Sox baseball coming your way. What a threesome it's going to be here on your new home for White Sox baseball all season long, ESPN 1000. Travis and Steve on Twitter say, last year's cicada was like a different brood. Apparently, there's thousands of types of cicadas. And, you know, you hear them every summer.
I didn't know that.
Like the big brood that comes out every 17 years. Well, Steve sent me an article here that says that's this year. And there's also a Nat Geo article about it. He's saying if you thought 2020 was bad, just wait till 2021. Across the Atlantic and Midwest, billions of the great eastern brood cicada will emerge from its underground lair in large numbers. So it's going to be even worse than last year, the stupid cicadas. You're crunching on them when you take the dog for a walk, when you're walking around with the kids on the sidewalk everywhere in the street. Oh, my God.
Exciting news.
So, like, last year was nothing. They're coming back, these damn things.
Coming back with a vengeance.
God, they're an ugly.
Karen, before you go back to the calls,
yeah.
Do you want the Sox lineup today?
I would love the White Sox lineup today.
Tim Anderson leading off.
That's TA to you.
Moncada batting second.
Yoán Moncada.
Your MVP, the guy you always want to trade, Jose Abreu, is third.
Not trade, just wouldn't have resigned.
Resigned, okay, my bad. Andrew Vaughn.
Okay.
Boy, I'm drawing a blank. Forgive me. Williams is in left field.
Williams. That's probably some young player that we're not all that familiar
right.
with just yet.
Garcia, second base. Adam Engel, center field.
At Williams.
Leury, Adam Engel, yeah.
Jonathan Lucroy catching.
Oh, Jonathan Lucroy doing the catching.
I'm not familiar with Rutherford either. He's in.
That's Blake.
Blake Rutherford. Okay, yeah. He's in right field.
He's in right field.
And Lucas Williams. Giolito's
Why
pitching.
Can't I think of who Williams is either?
Is it Nick? Is he on the team?
I can't, off the top of my head. I don't know. Thank you, Merck. Let's go to Don in Elmhurst. What up, Don?
Hey, Carm, York.
How are you, buddy?
I just have a quick story about a game I left.
Sure.
It was 1992. I was in Green Bay. The Packers were playing the Bengals, and I believe Yurk was on that team.
Yep.
So through the 1980s, my frustration, the Packers fumbled the ball. I think there were maybe 2+ minutes left. I go, I had it. I'm leaving. So we're walking out of the stadium. And that's when Mikowski, I got hurt, and Favre took over.
Right.
And so I'm walking out of the stadium, and I hear this big, huge roar out of the stadium. And I looked at my friends. I go, I think the Packers just won that game.
Yeah, we just screwed up, didn't we? Don, thanks, buddy. Yeah, that's the famous picture of Yurko jumping by Brett and congratulating him.
Holding on to him.
Kittrick Taylor, is that right, Yurk?
Kittrick Taylor was the wide receiver, caught one touchdown pass that year.
And that was it, right?
And that was the one touchdown pass.
And it is indeed Nick Williams.
Nick Williams, there you go. And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Brett Favre.
There were struggles, though.
There were struggles.
94, I'm telling you. They put Brunel in the game against the Minnesota Vikings and Mike Holmgren, and he's talked about it here on our air.
Yeah.
Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre had to come to Jesus meeting.
Wasn't always easy.
And they figured it out. We're either going to do this thing together or we're going to fail together.
Wow. All right, as we wrap up, couple quick nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, who were in town last night. We talked a lot about Jokic and heap effusive praise onto him, and rightfully so. I mean, it's too bad he only comes to town once a year because he's just something, and nothing looks fast. You know, nothing, you don't know, like Yurko said, you don't know how he does it.
Right.
But he just does it, and he can do everything. I mean, he's just truly an amazing player. Zion had a great game last night, too. I don't know if people were watching any of the Jazz. The Jazz have barely lost. Pelicans beat him last night. Zion is so good, and Zion has no problem taking it right to the basket against the biggest, baddest, most intimidating rim protector in the NBA in probably the last decade. Wouldn't you guys agree? Probably in Rudy Gobert, and he's just got no problem. And he's got enough strength and control and athleticism to finish around the rim. I mean, nobody does that to Rudy Gobert.
John should chat again.
Oh, my God. Did you see Doncic's game last week when he beat Boston?
Yep.
He hit those two threes? Yep. God. Yep. He's another one that I just marvel at. I'm like, I wish we could have a player like Luka Doncic. I mean, I love Zach, but my God.
By the way, and a shout-out to Stevenson's own Jalen Brunson, who had 24 points and, I think, 8 rebounds last night.
Big time.
What is he? Is he an MVP candidate?
No.
He's not an MVP
candidate. Are you sure?
Yes,
that's a heck of a game.
Yes, he's playing really well for them.
And the Rockets at home, the under hit again last night. It's 12-0-1 in the last 13, so be mindful of that.
20 points, Carmen, hit by 20 points.
By 20 points, yeah. I know. Thanks to Jeff Meller, Randy Merkin, J.R. Strauss, and thanks for listening, calling, and participating. A lot of great calls on some of our fun topics today. Everybody have a great day. Greeny is next. Then it's White Sox baseball and Waddle and Sylvie after that. We'll see you tomorrow. Meller has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
On my children, I am not drawing penises on Waddle's car. However, for this entire pandemic, I have not been responsible for one penis on Waddle's car.